It's almost as though we oftentimes are looking for problems to give ourselves more stress by worry. Amazing news is that much of what we worry about doesn't matter at all. In fact, statistics say this. This is where statistics can really help. 40% of all things that we worry about never come to pass.
Right.
40%. 30% of all our worries involve past decisions that cannot be changed. So now we just got 70% of our worry thrown out the window. 70% by just two things. One, they don't come to pass. Number two, it's involving past decisions that you cannot change, but you worry about it. 70% of your worry is already substantiated as null and void. 12% focus on criticism from others who spoke because they felt inferior. So now we're at 82% over three factors. This 12%, you worry because of what others have said. Another 10% are related to our health, which gets worse when we worry. So now we're at 92% of all the things we worry about are really insignificant. Only 8% of our worries could be described as legitimate causes for concern. The funny fact is that most of you right now think what you're worried about is legitimate. You think that your 8% is actually legitimate when it's not. And so what are you worried about today? I know this may seem a little bit carnal, but when I read that, I thought about that song. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. You know that song? It's just got a catchy little tune, and I know you may say, you're being carnal, Pastor. No, I'm just being real. I'm being real with you, thinking, you know what? Sometimes we need to sing that song. Just that part of the chorus, don't worry, be happy.
Amen.
Don't worry, be happy. But you don't understand. No, you don't understand that 92% of what you're worried about is nonsense.
Right.
Oh, you're being mean. No, I'm not being mean. I'm just being truthful. I'm being truthful that we worry way too much. The Bible said that it is good for a man to hope and patiently wait in the salvation of the Lord. It is good for you to hope and patiently wait. Amen. But most of us worry. Most of us worry. Amen. So let's keep our thoughts right and not allow worry to dictate our lives. Amen. I'm preaching this morning, and for the sake of recording and putting on the website, I'm going to preach this thought, Truth Made Simple. And I'm going to preach on doctrine and what it's going to take for us to be saved. Now, some of you today you say, well, there ain't nobody in here that needs to hear this message, so you can check out. Well, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, you can do that. Then I'm going to preach today for somebody that's going to hear this word at some point.
All right.
I began to think about how God dealt with some people, and even though they did not know God, God sent them a certain direction, put them in a certain place at a certain time. And in our society today, I know how much of the internet is being used and how much of the time people are actually getting on websites of churches to listen to messages before they go to a said church. And I will just believe and trust in God that if somebody listens to this message right now, that they will hear the truth, the word of God, and that it will make a difference in their life. Howbeit, I wish, I was hoping, I was anticipating somebody that has never heard this gospel to be here in this service this morning. But because there isn't, I'm going to preach anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not only that, there's another reason I'm going to preach it, and I'm going to preach it again, and you're going to hear it again, because I do know that the word can make a difference in your heart and in your life.
Amen.
And the more that you hear it, the more that you'll become confident to tell somebody else.
Amen.
You may say, well, I can't teach a Bible study. Yes, you can. I'm going to teach this Bible study in the most simplistic form that there is. And it really is a Bible study this morning. And it's just truth in the most simplistic form. Lots of scripture. And so if you want to write down the scriptures as we go through, you're more than welcome to do so. Amen. John chapter number 8 and verse number 32 said, "And ye shall know the truth." It is a capital T. It is not a lowercase T to let us understand and know that there is a truth. A truth in a society, in a world in which we live, where there's all kinds of gray areas. The Bible still remains a black and white. It still remains true or false. Amen. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture, everybody say all.
All
scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All my Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You want to know how to live right? The Bible that you hold in your lap today, or maybe you have on your iPad, or on your phone, or whatever device you may have, if you've got that Bible there, amen, and you read the scripture, you can understand that all the words that are given in this Bible that you hold is by the inspiration of God and is profitable for every aspect of your life. I remember a message that my dad is no preacher by no means, but I do remember at a very young age, the pastor was gone and he asked my dad to teach a Wednesday night Bible study. I think it was his first or second time, but he's not a preacher. He's not called to the ministry or anything, but he was there to be available for whatever the pastor needed. And I remember at a very young age, there was a commercial that was on the radio I don't remember all the places that it was, but I just remember hearing it on the radio that it was a advertisement for Newman's spaghetti sauce. Not Newman the way I spell it. I wish that was my uncle, but he's not. It was an advertisement for Newman's spaghetti sauce, and they would go and they would say, "Well, are there tomatoes in there?" He'd say, "It's in there." "Are there onions in there?" "It's in there." And he'd go through this list, and he kept on saying, "It's in there. It's in there. It's in there." About how amazing that spaghetti sauce was, and I'll never forget the impact that it had on me that day when my dad got up and he began to teach a Bible lesson, and he held up his Bible and he said, "Do you want to know how to be saved?" And we say, "Yes." And he said, "Well, it's in there. Do you want to know how to talk? It's in there. Do you want to know how to live? It's in there. Do you want to know how to dress? It's in there. Do you want to know how to treat your wife or treat your husband or treat your kids or your kids treat your parents? It's in there. It's in there." And I'll never forget that profound effect that it had on me as my dad began to preach that message that day, that everything I need is in the Word Word of God. And if you think that your situation or your answer's not in there, let me tell you this morning, you're sadly mistaken. Because everything you need is in the Word of God.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15, this is for us. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly discerning the word of truth. To understand the word of God, we must understand there are four basic divisions of the New Testament. Amen. Number one is the gospel. Number two is the book of Acts, the history and the founding of the church. Then there are number three, the epistles or the letters that were written to the church or individuals. And then, of course, the book of Revelations. As we break those down, the gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four books tell us basically about the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Also in the gospels, you will come to understand that Jesus died for us. He became that supreme sacrifice to make it possible for all of us to be saved today. The gospel simply lets us know that we can be saved. We have a hope of being saved by what is written in those four gospels. But it is also duly noted that it does not, in the four gospels, explain how to be saved. It just lets us know that there is a Savior that has come to save us. Amen. The book of Acts. This is the actual Acts or the actions of the apostles. And in this book, we find out how to be saved. Because the apostles take what they received. The disciples which became apostles take what they received in the gospels and act upon what they got from the word of God. Let me say this today to every saint of God here. If you are not taking this gospel like the disciples of Jesus Christ did and propagated throughout the earth, throughout your community, then you are not doing what God intended you to do. Amen. Because he said for us to go to every creature and preach this gospel. If you are not doing so, then let me tell you today very plainly, you are not obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this gospel is not for us only, but it is for as many as the Lord our God shall call. How is he going to call if somebody doesn't preach to him the truth of the word of God? Amen. The third is the epistles, which means the letters. From Romans through Jude, it is letters written to the church or individuals. But in both cases, it is written to those that are already saved. If you will take the time and look Romans through Jude, it will address at the very beginning of that scripture to the church at Rome, to the church at Corinth, to the church in Thessalonica. And so we are to understand that these are people that have already been saved or acted upon the initial message of salvation.
Right.
Amen. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 22, and ye shall be hated for all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Aren't you thankful, amen, for the word of God?
Amen.
There are many that don't want the word of God because of the hatred, because of the despising that you may feel from somebody that doesn't love God, that doesn't love the word of God, or simply somebody that doesn't know the word of God. But we need to know what the word says today. Amen. And the fourth is Revelations. This book basically tells us what will happen to us if we don't obey the word of God and if we are not saved.
And what will happen to us if we do obey the word of God and we are not lost? So we get to understand the end of all things through the book of Revelation. Now with this understanding, let us go to the word of God and start here at John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Skipping down to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So in this setting of Scripture, in the beginning the Word was God, and it became flesh, that flesh Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ became the living Word of God. In between John 1 and 1 and John 14, we have verses 11 through 13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Jewish people did not receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah. But as many as received him, I'm part of that number today. To them he gave power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Amen. He gave you and I power to become, to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, and nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. Do you realize today that if you are in that number and you were born of God, you were born just like Jesus Christ was. He was not born of blood. He was not born of the flesh, but of God. Amen. He took on in a spiritual sense as we take on in a spiritual sense, being born not of flesh and blood. That's why we can't enter into our mother's womb a second time and be born again. But it's a spiritual happening that we become the sons and the daughters of Almighty God. And in saying that, John chapter number 3, verse number 1, a very familiar setting of Scripture about the Pharisee Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. Verse number 2, and the same came to Jesus by night. Why did he come by night? I'll tell you why. He didn't want to be recognized by anybody else for going and sitting at the feet of Jesus and inquiring of him of what he must do to be saved. Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot, there isn't any ifs, ands, or buts here. There isn't any exception to the rule. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? He asked that question. It's a good question, but the fact is you're only thinking with your carnal mind and not in the spiritual sense. He said, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered again, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I believe today that you are listening, that you are here in this congregation today because you want to be saved. There is something deep inside of you that is calling you to a greater walk with God, that you're not satisfied with where you're at. You want to be saved.
Amen.
Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So here Jesus delineates that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Don't be confused. Get some understanding. I'm telling you, ye must. It's not an option. It's not if you want to or if you feel like it. You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell. tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I don't understand all of the specifics about the Spirit of God, but I know what I know when I feel His Spirit moving on me. Some people may explain it as something tingling going from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. They get chill bumps. Well, some of them just get an overwhelming sense of emotion of love or of forgiveness or whatever it may be. I can't explain how the Spirit works. And I know we even use it as the Spirit would embrace us, would wrap its arms around us. No, I don't see any physical arms wrapping around me, but somehow, some way, in a spiritual sense, I feel the Spirit of God caressing me and letting me know everything's going to be all right. Letting me know I love you. I've forgiven you. I'm for you. I'm with, oh, I can feel His Spirit touching me.
Amen.
Amen. So the Lord told Nicodemus that everyone who wanted to see or enter into the kingdom of God must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Moving quickly down to verse number 16 of John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son unto the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Oftentimes people get this all backwards, that the message is condemning. When you say you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, there's no condemnation there. There's only hope for you if you will obey the Word of God. There is no condemnation in those words. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. However, believing is much more than a thought process. Believing is action. We must have action when we put our faith into motion. John chapter 7 and verse 38 said, He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith. Notice how he said, you believe and you believe as the scripture saith. Oh, hallelujah. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So something more dynamic than just having a thought process of believing in who Jesus is. Something more dynamic begins to happen in the spirit realm, that you shall have rivers of living water. And he said, but this speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. Amen. When you believe, you're going to receive something different beyond just a simple thought process. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let us move on. And here in this setting, we discover that if we believe on Him according to the Word, we're going to receive the Spirit. If we find the scriptural belief is more than just a change in the way that we think, it results in a spiritual experience. Amen. John chapter 12, verse number 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him. So the chief rulers believed, but they only stopped at their belief. Amen. This is important for us to understand, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. There are plenty of people who believe, but but don't want to live or act upon that belief because it will cause a separation with certain people. It will cause a separation of certain actions. It will cause a separation of certain places that you will frequent. You won't look the same. You won't act the same. You won't talk the same. You won't live the same. Amen. Something changes when you really believe and act upon that belief. The Pharisees were not willing to take that next step and say, I'm going to follow after Jesus. Not only do I believe in him, but I'm going to start walking after him. I'm going to start listening to what he has to say and obey what he has to say. They would not do that because the scripture said, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They loved to have people give them accolades more than they wanted the favor of God. Oh God, help us. We are living in that day again, where there is multiple religions that are not getting it done, that are not changing lives. Amen. Even though there's some that use the slogan that their life has been changed. No, I've met some of those people that have gone to this church that have said it's life changing, but it hasn't changed because they still smoke, they still drink, they're still committing adultery, they're still living in sin and doing all manner of things. But I'm going to tell you, when you believe and you start acting upon the belief, you quit those things that defile the temple. You don't womanize no more. You don't go off and do things of promiscuity. You don't live like that. He causes you to live a righteous and holy life separated before God. I'm not looking for a popularity contest, and I'm not concerned about having the biggest church in town. I am concerned about reaching as many as we possibly can with the truth of God's word. There are hungry people that still want to be told what is right and what is true. We can never buy into the ideology that there isn't anybody that wants to live for God anymore.
Right.
We can't buy into the ideology that nobody wants the truth anymore. There's plenty of people that want the truth.
Right.
And that's why they continue week after week going and searching here, going and searching there, going here, going there, because they want to hear the truth.
Right.
Now, that's not to say that when they hear the truth, they embrace it.
That's right.
But they've heard the truth, and they believe. Many will even say, I know that that's the truth. I've had many even come to this church. All kinds of different things happen, and they have said, I know that that's right, but I'm not ready to live it. And you know what? My hat's off to them, if you will. I have more respect for them because they're willing to say and at least admit that I know that that's the truth, but I'm not ready to live it. I can handle that. But let me tell you, friend, you better get ready to live it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because God's coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know the day nor the hour.
Right.
And he's coming back soon.
Amen.
Well, yeah, we've heard that before. Yeah, I've heard it all my life too. But what's 70 years?
Right.
What's 70 years in light of eternity?
Amen.
It's really just a drop in the bucket. There's really not much there. But oh man, these young men, these young ladies, boy, they feel like, man, we ain't got much life. We got to just live it up. I'm 20 years old. I'm 17 years old. I got to... You can go up. You have time. You don't have time.
Right.
You just don't have time. Amen. You got to be careful because there's a lot of things... in life that you think you have time and then time runs out.
Yes.
You don't know. I was preaching just last Sunday and I did a statistic. There's a life expectancy, worldlifeexpectancy.com. And I was reading on there in the state of California alone in 8 days. This is the 8th day of January. And I started the ticker over again. The 8th day of January,
There were over 4,000, almost 5,000 suicides in 8 days in the state of California alone. That worked out to 46, one suicide every 46 minutes. So while I preached, there was at least, or while we were in service, there was two suicides in the state of California. There were over, I think it was 62,000 suicides in America, which came out to, I don't remember, it was like every 20 minutes in America, somebody takes their life. And then you begin to read some of the other statistics, and what was phenomenal to me is that in that 8 days, road accidents took more lives in the state of California than, and suicide was three. Poisonings was number two. Some of those poisonings can be actually categorized back into the suicide. They even say that. But number one was road accidents. You want to know who it was by? Ages 15 to 24. All these guys. Dead. Dead. We're talking a percentage rate of them more likely dying in a car accident sooner rather than later. Suicide amongst their rate wasn't quite as high as the next age group of 25 to 34. 25.